take you on a giant screen with a few colorful motion pictures you've been hearing about and reading
about. It's showtime, folks. Enjoy the show.
We're delighted to have you with us.
The Drive-In Theater.
You'll find something to please you to add to your evening's enjoyment.
It's pleased to bring you our Fifi feature presentation.
Good evening, everybody. What is going on? It is Monday night. It is March 18th. It is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. You are tuned into the Drive-In Speaker Box. I'm your host, Bo, the Boom Operator.
I'm Slick Doggy, the Grip.
And we've got another show for you. If this is your first time tuning in, wherever it is you tune in, if you're watching us live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, thank you very much. Shout-outs to all our friends over on Twitch that caught the Twitch pre-show. We've been talking about video games. We're talking about all kinds of things that have nothing to do with movies, but maybe you're downloading this wherever it is you download podcasts, so Spotify and Tuned In or Apple Music or whatever it is you do. We're happy that you joined us, and tonight we got a show. We're going to be talking about movies.
Yeah, we might even talk about video games being turned into movies.
No, we might do both. Foreshadowing about the news. Little hints, little spoiler alerts for the rest of the show. But yeah, it was a weird week in the theater. You know, everybody, a lot of those re-releases from Oscar winners getting dropped back into the theater this week, so people can, you know, check those out if you didn't get a chance. And you know, everybody is talking about trying to, you know, go see Dune. What's Dune doing? Dune's making music. Thanks for the redeem there, Beazle. But nothing really new came out in theaters this week because everybody's also giving a little bit of space for Ghostbusters. Frozen, whatever the... What is it even called now? Like, these movies have subnames.
It doesn't matter.
It's called Ghostbusters 5. Is it 5? Is it 6? Does it matter? Is it 4?
There's the first two.
Yeah, there's Ghostbusters 1 and 2.
And then there's these new two. So there's 4.
And then the one that shall not be named, right?
Yeah, that one.
So that's 5.
That one's non-canon. It's not in that one's not in the series because that was a reboot completely. These are reboot quills.
Gotcha. Well, here we are. We're back. I mean, we got Slimer over here always on the set. Let me grab my ghost trap. Just so we can...
Dude, there's all sorts of sick Ghostbusters toys in the stores right now.
Popcorn in there or whatever you need to do. I wonder, does it still have batteries like it used to do? I think it did stuff. I don't know. I don't know how to make it do. Wait. Yeah. Turn it on so you can hear. Whoa! I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Yeah, whatever. Ghostbusters. Coming out. We're gonna talk about that later in the show a little bit. But we're going to talk about some news because it's been a week and shit happened. So Jake's always got his sheets of paper at the ready, so I'll let him jump in.
Well, hey, how about it? One thing about the news, Oscar movies returning to the theater, not out already, but coming out at the end of this week, The Boy and the Heron is being re-released.
Go see it.
With some bonus content, too. If you go and watch it, it's coming out on the 22nd. Both sub and dub are being re-released. You should watch it in the subtitled, not the dubbed. With the bonus content, it's going to show the animators' like drawing process. That could probably be pretty cool to learn how they draw and animate Ghibli movies. But then also, something that seems like it's kind of something you may enjoy here is that the composer... Joe Hisaishi, there's a little small thing about the beginning where he talks about making the music. He's done every one of Miyazaki's movies except for one of them. He's also done a lot of Takeshi Kitano movies.
Almost all of them. I mean, you know what's really weird is I was in Walmart today and I was listening to, there's like a... an album that's like the best of Joe Hisaishi and Ryuichi Sakamoto. And I was literally listening to some Joe Hisaishi classics while I was pushing my cart because it helps me stay calm and keep from murdering everyone that's in Walmart.
Even though he does Takeshi Kitano, like Yakuza movies, where that's what Beat is doing, like the whole movie.
But
like,
it's just like, it's so soft and it's so... just like subtle.
That's true. I mean, he does the Ghibli music, and Ghibli music is it's atmospheric and it is calming and it brings down. He also did all the music for Ni No Kuni, which explains why like the opening of Ni No Kuni is that kind of same vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Ni No Kuni kind of has a Ghibli art style to it too. So I guess the directors of that game were like, you know what, just to complete this, let's go get Joe Hisaishi and like have him be the music for our game.
Joe Hisaishi rules.
Yeah. So that little featurette before the movie might make it worth going to watch just for that. But it is a fantastic animated movie.
It
won Best Animated Film. So there it is.
You can always listen to our review of it if you go back and download that episode. So we talked about it on the show, I believe. So
yeah, and before we get too far away from the whole Japan thing, not quite in the movie realm yet, but it has dipped in after this most recent Dragon Ball Super storyline has come to its resting point. They are now on a indefinite hiatus following the passing of Akira Toriyama, which they just kind of wrapped up, I think, the story surrounding Dragon Ball Super Superhero, which was the movie. Because one thing about Dragon Ball Super manga is that it's always playing around the movies, because the movies this time around are in line and canon with the manga storyline,
mm-hmm.
Unlike movies of the past. So I think they've just wrapped up all of that, but it is on a indefinite hiatus while they're figuring out what to do. I think Toyotaro is going to be the one to kind of continue on everything Dragon Ball to its logical conclusion. Originally, Dragon Ball Super was supposed to be the space between the last three chapters of Dragon Ball.
Okay.
The chapter where Goku defeats Boo, and then the two chapters where he comes back to compete in the world tournament just so he can meet the reincarnation of Boo, which is Oob. So there's like a 10-year gap.
Together they make Boob?
Sure. But the whole point of Super was that it was to fill the gap between...
the Boob.
The, you know, chapter 500, whatever, and then the final two chapters of that. So everything Super takes place in the last three chapters of Dragon Ball. But it's on pause right now.
You know what else is on pause right now that I saw on the news? Batman 2. The Batman.
Oh, bummer.
It's been delayed for at least a full year because Warner Brothers is like, what's going on with DC right now? We don't know. But I don't understand why this movie has to take a pause, because it doesn't feel like it's been put into this portion of insanity that has been happening. You know, I don't know what you also heard about Teen Titans. They're wanting to do a live action Teen Titans.
I saw that
movie,
which
they did a show.
They announced that the person the woman that's writing the story for the Supergirl movie will now be writing the Teen Titans live action. However, James Gunn and official DC channels have not spoken on that yet. So that's that. While they said official, there's nothing from James Gunn or actual DC to say that. However, it was said by Patty Jenkins in a HBO Max Talking Pictures podcast that currently Warner Brothers and DC have no want of a Wonder Woman project. So don't expect to see Wonder Woman in the first go-round of the new DC stuff. Mm-hmm. She did also say that she may not and likely won't ever direct another Wonder Woman movie, which goes against everything that old... what's her name?
Gal Gadot.
Yeah, Gal Gadot.
She's like, nope, we're making 100 of them.
Yeah, a couple months ago, where she was like... it's on. Wonder Woman 3. Yeah, we're part of DC.
Everyone loved 84 so much.
Me and Patty. And then James Gunn like instantly tweeted. He's like, that's where you're wrong. That's not real. And she just shut it down. So Patty Jenkins.
You know, Patty Jenkins is actually her Rogue Squadron movie.
Oh, come on.
Has now been pulled back out of uncancellation.
Oh, gross. No.
Yeah.
I don't need that. Don't do that.
That was also in the news.
Man, so back when Star Wars was worth caring about and a lot of fun, I used to have all the Rogue Squadron books and I played all the games.
Games were fun.
Yeah, don't do that movie. We don't need that.
No, we don't. But Disney needs them dollars.
Dude, I saw that Disney has owned Star Wars for 12 years. It feels like much longer.
It feels like a lifetime of disappointment.
I know it's a lot longer because Disney bought Lucasfilm before 2009. They've had to have owned them longer. But I guess 12 years since they started making movies, or like making Star Wars properties instead of just running off what was there. But they've made $12 billion. They make $1 billion a year off of Star Wars.
But remember that like Galaxy's Hotel thing that they built
that cost you $1 billion
a night, and they ended up closing it. They were like, "Yep, nobody."
Oh, it's closed.
I think that they scrapped it.
Oh no, I saw that it was still open not long ago.
What? Galaxy Hotel Disney closed. Here, let me pull up our. Let's see. Yeah, this Galactic Star Cruiser failure. Disney announced earlier this year that the company would be closing its Star Wars-themed Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel with its final voyage scheduled September 30th of 2023.
Wow, that did not last long.
Yeah, it is done. There you go.
You know what they need to bring back? The Star Trek Hotel.
Bring back? Was that a thing?
Oh, yeah. Where? Yeah, you could go to Vegas. There was a Star Trek hotel. Everyone was in costumes, and you could go on like the ships and have.
You know what would have been really cool is if each room had like a dumbwaiter and like room service. Just it was like a replicator though, and you'd be like, "Oh, computer, make me this," and in like 20 minutes or whatever, it'd like come up and the door would slide open and to be there. That'd be sick. Or there's just like a doorway that you know that the guy would just slide it through in the hall. There's like a hall inside the hall, but then it would like probably turn into like peep shows and all the people would be looking through the hole, like all the people doing like alien sex, because I assume that would happen a lot in Las Vegas.
Wow, this show gets off the rails quick.
What are you talking about? You're talking about Las Vegas hotels with Star Trek. Yeah. Well, it's the holodeck all day, man. The lower decks, if you know what I'm saying.
I still haven't watched any of it.
I tried, and it was just too Rick and Morty for me, and I was like, yeah, nope.
I don't need Star Trek with their dicks out.
Vince said he heard once that Star Trek people go to Ren fairs acting like they are off ship scouting a planet.
I've seen pictures of that.
If they were actual Star Trek fans, then that's like not really okay, because it goes against the prime directive. Yeah, you can't do that. You have to blend in. So they'd have to be dressed up like nerds that were not science fiction nerds. They'd just be other nerds. Yeah, so those people are just assholes. They're not Star Trek fans.
Hey, talking about old properties and comebacks and stuff, do you see the trailer for The Crow?
I did. We were going to talk about it.
Oh.
We were going to talk about it.
Get to it early?
Well, you know The Crow is like a very, very iconic movie in my life, right?
Yes. That's why I asked if this something.
Well, let's get into it, man. I mean, The Crow has been a thing that we have been reporting on, this remake of this movie, off and on for years and years and years. Like, they have been talking about doing a Crow reboot forever. And the thing about The Crow is, like, it's based on a comic book, right? You know, and everyone's like, oh, you can't change him. You can't make him look, you know, and you can change him. I don't take issue with the way that, you know, Mr. Skarsgård is like taking on the role. He's got the build. He's got kind of the look. Yeah, he looks a little bit like the guy from Die Antwoord, but you know,
he looks like Joker from Suicide Squad.
Like all these face tats and all this kind of stuff. But you know, I feel like when the Crow came out in the 90s, it was just like let's make it industrial. Let's make it goth. And that 90s goth industrial was a very iconic look. And that director that took on that project, he was very good with that style. And it kind of encapsulated a small subgenre of a generation. And the Crow comic book is goth, yes, and it is very counterculture, but I don't think that it's like locked into, you know, Hot Topic in the 90s. So that didn't bother me. What is kind of bothering me about this trailer is it just, I don't know. It seems so repackaged to not really do what I loved about the first movie, which is just kind of celebrate like the music, the visuals. It doesn't look very visually engaging to me. It just looks like a movie, you know, and it looks like, oh, a revenge movie. The plot's cool, but something about the Crow is like a neo-noir, and that's why I really, really, really loved it, is because it was dark and it was gritty and every scene was at night, you know, the famous, like, it can't rain all the time, you know, because every day was raining, it was dark, it was urban, it was just this dystopian world that was created in a world that was very real and in our world. And this movie's not hitting those visuals for me. And that's my biggest complaint. Like, the story's going to be cool. Eric Draven's, the story's a badass.
Is it? Because in the trailer, they have him, he's just an immortal person. And they even say he's been given the powers of a god. He's an unstoppable force. So what are the stakes?
He's not unstoppable. That's
he is
the
in
thing.
The trailer, because he gets shot with like 50 oh, yeah. guns at
he
one
does.
Time.
But if the Crow gets hurt, then he loses. That's spoiler alert at the end of the movie. Like, the bad guy will put it together, just like he did in the other movie. Take the Crow, injure the Crow, and then it's like, oh, shit, all of a sudden my powers are a little bit gone. Because the Crow is like the harbinger of his soul to the afterlife. He's the tether that his soul has to his undead body, right? So the Crow is essentially a zombie that's back to get revenge for, you know, killing him and his loved one, you know, and that he's, when his goal is done, he is done. His soul can go to rest. And so basically, yeah, he's an unstoppable force, but only until he accomplishes his goal. And then he's back to being a dead person again. And, you know, it's the whole story that, like, love never dies, love is immortal, and all this kind of stuff. And it's super emo.
Hammer that in real hard in that trailer.
But, and as Velvet Santa said, there's no Ernie Hudson, which Ernie Hudson was a fantastic part of that movie. And, you know, I don't know. The trailer, it just, I think it's going to make plenty of money because people dig dudes with face tats right now. I mean, it's like, why didn't they just get Machine Gun Kelly to be the Crow or whatever? I don't know. It's.
But after him being in the dirt, I'm not opposed.
I know. But Skarsgård's an intimidating guy. You know, Bill is big, and he really is starting to look a lot like his brother in the True Blood days. But I'm not super excited about it. I'm going to see it because I'm a humongous Crow fanatic. But the first movie was just kind of a weird, accidental, perfect storm. They, you know, they did some sequels, and they were all terrible. Like, Crow City of Angels is a very not good movie. I don't know. It has not pulled me in. Let's just say that. It has not pulled me in. I don't think it's going to create that ripple of subculture that the first one did, you know, and became a true cult classic. And the music in the first movie was phenomenal. Another thing that made that movie so iconic was its soundtrack.
Yeah, Beelzebub a Ding Dong said.
Yeah, hard to imagine without the 90s soundtrack. I mean, Cure recorded a song just for it, you know, so we're going to go back to Drive-In Speaker Box circa back when it was on the radio, when I used to play film scores all the time. The Crow soundtrack was really influential because it was one of the first movies that the soundtrack, it was this and like Lost Highway, where the soundtrack like actually became a chartable album. Like, people were going to the store seeking out these soundtracks, because originally, like, before then, soundtracks were just kind of kept to this sort of weird corner of the record store that people wouldn't really go to. But with those two movies hit, with those soundtracks, people were like, okay, soundtracks are a thing. And then from, like, you know, after that movie on to like the mid 2000s, dude, motion picture soundtracks were like the thing, and there was the music inspired from the film and blah, 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 and they were trying to use movies to sell albums that were just compilation albums, and it was a whole thing, and you can thank The Crow for that. But anyway, yeah, it's a whole thing. Vince over on Twitch just dropped in our chat there the track list to The Crow soundtrack. That Burn song is really, really, really good. So there you go.
Well, and you know what, talking old properties, did you see this? It was announced that there's going to be another Little Shop of Horrors reboot.
I saw that as well. Yes,
with Joe Dante and Roger Corman.
And I'm okay with this.
Now, Roger Corman's the man that produced the original Little Shop of Horrors and wrote it. And then he wrote the 80s movie Little Shop of Horrors. And some of our favorite movies, man. He did Death Race 2000. He did the 1990s Fantastic Four.
But these two guys are both really old. Like, Joe Dante's almost 80.
Yeah, but, dude.
Like, how many 80-year-olds do you know that are, like, in the director's chair, like, spry and being like, no, 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 do this. Oh, nope, nope, we're going to, moving on. We got it. And cut.
Yeah, but it's like Little Shop of Horrors, though. I mean,
Metamucil.
He's just going to be like, have Audrey 2 bite that guy.
I just, at a certain point, I love Joe Dante. Now, as Tony said on YouTube, The Burbs. That's one of my favorite movies ever. It's in my top five.
Dude, I was just talking about Interspace with someone the other day. I talk about Interspace way too much in my life.
Small Soldiers?
He did two Small Soldiers. This one's going to be called Little Shop of Halloween Horrors.
God damn it. I didn't see that part.
That kind of takes away from it for me. But you know what else Joe Dante did?
Is it going to be an anthology?
No, it's just a movie.
Because Joe Dante likes that shit.
Yeah, he did Rock and Roll High School.
Yeah, he did.
One of the dumbest movies. Both of these guys have made some of the dumbest movies.
Yes, they have.
So look out for that one. And then going way, way back in properties, there was a post by Jason Blum, the producer of Wolfman. And it has started filming.
No joke.
Yeah. New Wolfman movie on the way.
Okay. All right. I'm down with that.
It is now filming.
I do like me some Wolfman.
And then going back to our foreshadowing that we had created there at the beginning of the show, things that have finished filming, Sonic 3 just wrapped.
Just wrapped. Yep. And Jim Carrey, yeah? Jim Carrey?
Yeah, Jim Carrey's in it. But Sonic Shadow is going to... Gonna be in this one.
They're gonna kill that chick in the beginning. What's it? Everybody on the internet is talking about like the storyline between Shadow and like I guess he has a human girlfriend or whatever. Gets murked in the.
You're the Sega guy.
I don't know. I never played this one, but I've seen the memes. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what Sonic 3 will bring?
Yeah, Jason Marsden was in an interview, and he said that Sonic 3 has finished. He was talking with the playlist about that. Dr. Robotnik, Shadow the Hedgehog, it's probably going to be good. The other two were good.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Yeah, not mad
about it. It just jumped shark enough.
Yeah, it's supposed to be released by the end of this year currently, so it has a Christmas release date. At this time, we'll see if it sticks with that one.
Totally here for it. Two other bits of news that I wanted to get to before we start talking about what's coming out in theaters. The Winnie the Pooh, you know, after the Blood and Honey movie, which is now getting a sequel. They are going to do crossovers now with old properties that are in public domain. They're going to hit up like Bambi, Tinkerbell, make a serial killer like old out of, you know, public domain ex-Disney property horror verse. I don't know what that's going to do. Looks insane. Will probably be insane.
The most insane thing about it is called the Pooniverse.
.com.
dive into the Pooniverse, bro.
And the other thing that I wanted to mention, because it involves one of our favorite dudes, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who the holiday classic, A Jingle All the Way, 5 years since his last movie, returning to filmmaking once again and teaming up with Alan Ritchson of another other giant muscle guy fame. Which, you know, we've been talking about him on Reacher, but they're teaming up to make a Christmas comedy. And the premise is when Santa's magic bag is stolen, he turns to his naughty list to find Vance, who is a former thief, to help him get it back. Along with his daughter, Santa, and a group of misfit elves, Vance will have to pull off the greatest heist of his life to save Christmas. And basically... if Arnold Schwarzenegger and Alan Ritchson are just doing anything in a Christmas comedy, sign me up, dude.
Now, for any of you who have never watched Blue Mountain State, Alan Ritchson is a fantastic comedy actor. So if you only know him from Reacher or Titans or something like that, Watch Blue Mountain State because he is hilarious.
So early rumors are saying that Arnold will probably be Santa Claus, which, oh my God, like how stupid and amazing. And then that would leave Alan Ritchson to be kind of the, you know, the Grinchy thief that teams up to get the bag back. So I'm here for it. I'm totally here for it. Okay. Did you have any other news bits?
Yeah, just the last thing. There was a trailer for The Pool Man that released. It's kind of like
not a pool boy.
No, Pool Man. Yeah, it's Chris Pine. He wrote, directed, and stars. He's just
that's
like
finally coming out. I heard it was so bad.
Really?
I have heard that it's supposed to be one of the worst movies ever.
Maybe we'll see. But the trailer for it doesn't look so bad. He's just like a LA pool man.
He's playing.
He's like writing a script, and he gets co-opted into being part of some like investigation.
Moondog.
He's kind of like a Moondog character, absolutely like a Moondog type thing. So,
but yeah, Vince said that there was tons of walkouts at the premiere.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard about this movie. I you know, I'll watch it. It looks fun. And also, when there's walkouts, that probably means it might actually be good. I don't trust a lot of people's judgment. I remember when I was sitting in the theater watching Pootie Tang when it came out in theater, and everybody left the theater but me and my two friends.
So this motherfucker went, Sadate.
And I'm like,
and they're like, I don't know what he's saying.
Sign me up.
Let's get out of here.
It was the last person left when he was talking about how his father died. His father was played by Chris Rock, and a man in a gorilla suit like jumped out and like killed Chris Rock just in a very stupid way. The movie's so amazing, but they were like, okay, we're done, and then they just got up and left. But what little did they know that Pootie Tang is cinematic greatness.
What's the dirty man's name, the bad guy
in Pootie Tang?
Yeah, he's like he's just super dirty. He's like pig pen
dirty
camp.
D
is that what
yeah
his name?
Dirty D, because I'm Dirty D, damn it.
I haven't watched that movie in a long
low
time.
Low down and dirty, boy, you know what I'm about. It plays that song. Movie Albert just jumping in on Twitch into the comments said he just saw Cabrini. I have not seen that yet. That's kind of on my list of things to see. Velvet Santa on Twitch also reminded us a ton of people walked out of American Psycho, which I think we talked about recently that they're wanting to try and reboot, which is insane.
There's been several movies in the past where, like, when they talk about them afterward and, like, what their success was they were like, yeah, the test audience hated it and the studio really pressured us into changing it. And we were like, no. And then here we are today, years later, talking about it, and it made them all of the dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say that test audiences know anything?
Movie Albert said that Cabrini was excellent. Velvet Santa also reminded us that Louis C.K. directed Pootie Tang. Yes, he may have been canceled. Yeah, it was his only kind of directorial debut. And he may be canceled now, but I can still say that Pootie Tang was a really fun movie. You know, one of those things where you kind of got to separate the art from the artist there for just a minute. But, all right, well, it is the time of the show. We need to tell you what's coming out in theaters this weekend because it is a new weekend. And pretty much only one big movie is coming out. And, you know, there's a lot of, like, limited stuff that's going to be coming out. You know, I think people are probably going to see Immaculate. It's from Neon, and I don't know what kind of release it's going to get. It might be getting a wider release because Sydney Sweeney's in it, and
she's in everything,
breaking the internet right now with boobs, because apparently that's all it takes anymore, is just like, look at them boobies. But also Riddle of Fire is coming out. It was kind of an interesting film from Cannes this past year. I don't think it's going to get a wide release, so you'll probably be able to catch it on streaming because it is a foreign film. But the one that everybody, well, and there's another horror, indie horror movie that's coming out that did pretty well on the film festival circuit. It was called Late Night with the Devil, which looks pretty interesting, and it has starring David Desmalchain, whatever how his name is pronounced. But I've seen the trailer. It looks pretty cool. But speaking of demons and ghosts and
like
ghouls,
how you put flair on it. Desmalchain, like,
just like long-ass names with lots of consonants and vowels.
Probably just Desmalchain.
Well, okay, well, there it is. Das Malchan. No, when's that
like,
a name I've heard every
I like that
Tuesday?
You put the flair on it.
Das Malchan?
Like, I don't know what it is.
So I'm going to give it some flair. You just say it with confidence. Who cares? But Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. It is, it's going to be the thing that everybody talks about, you know. It is the, what's that, have you, the Nick Cicerega song, do you remember this one? The, where it's like the bustin'.
If it's something strange, I think we had it on the show. In your
bed. Something strange, sleeping in your bed. Let me tell you something.
If there's something weird. Sleeping in your bed. Is this, is this close enough to the real song to get us?
I don't know. But it's like it goes on to be like bustin', 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 bustin'.
Hey,
all right, that's it. I can't play any more than that because we're probably gonna get flagged. On YouTube.
Bustin' generally makes people feel good. For sure.
But that's the joke. But anyway, yeah, Frozen Empire. Frozen Empire. Like, what kind of name is this? And what kind of, like, Diablo villain is in the trailer? And what kind of bullshit does... I mean, sorry for everybody that loves Ghostbusters. I am not excited about this movie. I haven't been excited about this movie.
I mean, we've had to tell people before, we're guys that love Ghostbusters. We
got it.
They're
right, everywhere.
Right here, and we got it right over there, and... We got some more right here. Where's my Slimer pen that I normally write with?
Hang on, let me get my other Ghostbusters bullshit. I got my Ghostbusters walkie, and I got my PKE meter. I mean, we're nerds.
Oh, here he is.
You know,
I mean, I'm not a nerd.
We got
the
stuff.
I like Ghostbusters.
We got the stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, I still haven't even watched the last one that came out because
it was okay.
I'm not doing that.
It was okay, but like I've heard some early reports from people in there. They were saying like a lot of the stuff that's in the trailers, not even in the movie, that was just put in the trailer to like hook people like us to go, oh, they got the library ghost, and oh, they got the things, you know, oh, they got the tools, they got the talent, as Velvet Santa says. But yeah, I don't know, you know, it's like too much, too late, and to me. I am a big proponent of letting some things just remain sacred, right? And this is another thing that it's just not sacred anymore because they're just grabbing the turnip and trying to get more blood out of it. And it's like, that's not how that works. And Vince says, I saw Carrie Coon was in the trailer and got sad. She deserves better. I mean, they're all getting a paycheck, right? They all said yes because a humongous... like probably comedic cardboard check like got delivered to their house by people in, you know, Ghostbusters jumpsuits, and they're just like, you know, wanna get in on this? We got one more offer. And yeah, Ghostbuster Mania, I feel, is over. It's been over. It's been over for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like Ghostbuster Mania like died probably around Ghostbusters 2, you know?
Yeah.
And
I mean, Ghostbusters 2 is not a good movie, right?
And
like, that's fair to
say. The real Ghostbusters was like... The real Ghostbusters was probably the best carry-on the torch of what Ghostbusters was. And then now it's just been this just terrible, let's try and recapture... the magic, and you can't.
There's like a fun video game.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It's like the continuation of the story where you get to play as like the Ghostbusters.
And you know, in the trailer's got the guy with no dick. What's his name? Peck.
Oh yeah.
And he comes in. They're like bringing in all of this stuff to be like, oh yes, you know, this guy spent the past how many ever years like trying to bring down the Ghostbusters. And
yeah, when they save New York twice and the world is in love with them and everyone's like, yeah dude, ghosts were attacking, like literally attacking my family, and the Ghostbusters saved our lives, how is he still like, well, screw these guys? Yeah. You know, like, how does that work?
Shut these all off.
Yeah,
anyway, I don't know. Velvet Santa asks on Twitch, who hurt me? The producers, studios.
Maybe in this movie you'll see Peck and his pants will be down and there will be no dick. And like, you're like,
dogs and cats living together.
Yeah, there he is. That's hysteria. Why he's so angry all the time.
And we say this a lot, or I've said this a lot on the show. I think one of the reasons that the first Ghostbusters was such a great and powerful film is because it was not
a movie that was created to sell popcorn buckets and toys and reach the kids and reach a new generation of kids. It wasn't even supposed to be for kids. It was a comedy written by a handful of like SNL alums that was supposed to be aimed at adults that just happened to also have a broad appeal. And now it's just like, nah, but we have to think about the kid. Fuck the kids. If it's a good movie, they'll like it.
None of the movies that I liked as a kid were for kids.
No.
T2 wasn't for kids.
No.
RoboCop wasn't for kids.
No.
Ghostbusters wasn't for kids.
No, Predator wasn't for kids.
Yeah.
Like, none of these movies were for kids. But as children, children also were like, this is badass. Yeah. And it was just friendly enough for those parents that realized that watching, you know, a dude get sawed in half with a tri-laser beam, you know, it's not going to really impact you forever. I mean, look at that cool alien. And then, oh my God, let's sell toys. And, you know, as Velvet Santa said, Rambo wasn't for kids, but he got a cartoon show.
Yeah, dude, I loved every Rambo movie.
Dude. Weird. Ghostbusters. I'm not excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to see it.
Not me, man. I still haven't watched the last one. Maybe there'll be a good Indian movie in the theater.
We'll see about that. But anyway, that's what's coming out in theaters this weekend.
I did promise my mom I would watch Arthur the King with her at some point. I didn't get this week.
That came out last week.
I didn't have a time for us to watch it together. But if I can find that, I guess I need to go watch Arthur the King.
All right. Well, there you have it. But that's what's coming out in theaters this weekend. You can check all those things out and tell us what you think. So with that said, let's talk about a movie that did just come out recently. It's a Netflix film. Came out about 8 days ago, 10 days ago.
Yeah.
On Netflix. That's starring Millie Bobby Brown and Ray Winston, Angela Bassett. It is called Damsel, and you caught this?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I watched Damsel since last
Robin
week.
Wright was in this, too. And
yeah, Robin Wright is, spoiler for the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Not Princess Buttercup?
Evil Queen. Whoa. Yeah, which is crazy, because it is. It's just a total counterpart to the Princess Buttercup thing. So this movie, man, it's definitely, it's good that it was a Netflix movie, because it's really not something that would have been a fantastic theatrical release at all. You've seen it before. It's just, it's kind of a paint-by-numbers type movie, you know, except they feel like they totally flipped the script on you kind of a thing. It's a movie that opens up with one of the lines being, you know, normally, like, kings and knights and stuff go to save the damsel. This ain't one of them movies. And then it goes into whatever dumbass plot this movie has, which is that there's a dragon that must be appeased every generation by being given 3 royal daughters to satiate
these dragons
its hunger. It's explained in the movie. But yeah, the dragon must be satiated by being given 3 royal daughters every generation, and they've done this for hundreds of years. You know, and of course, Millie Bobby Brown's character is
one of the daughters.
No, she is a girl from a faraway kingdom that's being married to the prince specifically for the purpose of that making her a royal daughter, so that she can then be
sacrificed.
Throw
her into the dragons. Okay.
Yeah, so the whole thing is that daughters have been brought from these kingdoms the world over to be married to this prince, you know, of every generation, and then they give 3 of them to this dragon that lives.
So he's just like marrying chicks, and they're like, throw them in the dragon pit.
Absolutely.
Okay, got
it. And then so she's tossed in, but, you know, she's determined to survive, and she sees the scrawlings of like all the princesses that had made it that far in the past, and she fights through these caverns in this mountain, you know, this like Lord of the Rings style cavernous mountain. It's just a hollow mountain, and she
Smaug's house,
kind of. She evades this dragon the whole time, and the dragon just gets pure joy out of torturing and toying with her and everything. And at some point, you know, she becomes the action hero kind of a thing. Like I said, it's kind of, it's definitely like a paint by numbers. It's not really anything to,
was this or Reign of Fire better?
Reign of Fire, 100%. Absolutely.
Was this or Dragonlance better? Do you remember Dragonlance? Or what's, no, what's the other one? This Dragon is, Slayer?
Dragon Slayer is more slow paced, but much better movie.
What about this or Dragon Heart?
So this movie is very much like Dragon Heart, and that was one of the comparisons I was going to draw to.
This time, I'll take the fall, and you...
Dragon Heart is a better movie, and Dragon Heart had toys. Talking about movies geared towards kids, because I had every Dragon Heart toy. I loved that movie as a kid. But this is, it's kind of like a Dragon Heart meets Khaleesi type thing.
Okay.
You know, because it's every, and everything's girl power, 100%. The main bad guy is Robin Wright. You know, Angela Bassett is Millie Bobby Brown's stepmom that's just trying to gain her trust and her love. And Millie Bobby Brown's the girl that must become the warrior. And the dragon is a mother who had three daughters. And everything is girls and daughters and women, whether they be evil or learning to fight or dragons, you know. And but it's a very predictable movie. Nothing exciting really happens in it, but it's good for passing time. It's put it on when you're like folding laundry or something. You don't even need to see the visuals. Sometimes there's music that'll play and you're like, what's happening? And if you're watching the screen, you're like, oh, absolutely nothing is going on. It's more of like a decent distraction, not really like a must-see movie or anything like that. Okay. So not terrible for a Netflix movie, but definitely they made the right choice putting it streaming instead of doing like a big theatrical release. Robin Wright is very good in this, though, even though she's like the bad guy. Angela Bassett and Robin Wright are both very good in this, but
they're always good.
They're just playing characters that they already are.
Yeah,
you know, like, so I don't know. It was okay. It's hard to kind of give comprehensive reviews of movies that have no substance. You know,
that's true.
you get the whole movie in the first 4 minutes,
and you know what's going to happen,
and you know everything that's going to happen, and then it just kind of, it goes, well, here it is, and you're like, cool. Yeah. Well, thanks for stretching out a 10-minute short film into an hour and 30 minutes. Yeah.
Oh man. Well,
it's called Damsel.
Damsel. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. You can check that out if you wanna. It's on Netflix right now. Vince over on Twitch, he just chimed in and said, did you guys see that Johnny Depp has a movie on Fathom Events? It says, they said Hollywood Reporter called it jaw-dropping. I looked up the review, and they said a few of the costumes were jaw-dropping. And
it's his, like,
Jean de Berry.
Wasn't it, like, his Cannes movie that everyone's like, wow, this is really good. Now it's his return to American
Cinema. Oh, it's
cinema.
The movie he was he's playing King Louis the 15th. Yeah, all right. Okay, yeah, based on a true story. I don't know about jaw-dropping, but I bet it's going to have some great costumes because it's a period piece, so... If it's in theaters for any period of time and it's this year, then expect it to be in best costumes because period pieces and costumes. But there you go. Cool. That's the movies that we saw. And I guess we need to jump into the box office. Is it about that time?
Sure.
It's about that time. The box office. This is the thing that we do every week. We give you the domestic box office for the weekend. This would be March 15th through 17th, 2024. Jake's going to give you the top 10 movies in America here. We'll probably pepper in some worldwide totals, but generally we like to follow the domestic numbers because that's where the studios go. So for some of our viewers that watch all the time, like Dina, who's like the resident number cruncher, if you kind of learn how these numbers work, you can kind of predict what we're going to get more of, what different genres are going to get more of, what sequels we're going to get more of. So yeah, the numbers, it's all in the numbers. So I guess number 10 Take it away, Jerry.
Actually, I want to talk about number 15 real quick. Snack Shack, one of the things that we were talking about last week that actually looked like it might be interesting, we did not get it locally to us. It opened at number 15 with $300,000. It's only in 430 theaters. So hopefully that goes somewhere, but we'll see. But then at number 10, is this one with Alan Ritchson, since we were just talking about him?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and its fourth week out, Ordinary Angels, dropped from the number 6 spot. $942 brought in by $42,000 brought in by it. $18 million so far by that one.
I really thought that Snack Shack was going to get a wider release.
Yeah, yeah, none of our theaters had it here.
It's weird. I thought it was. It's probably going to come out in another because. Well, it didn't.
I checked every theater we had locally to see if there was anything interesting at any of them. There was one Hindi kind of action movie, but it wasn't compelling enough to try and make the journey up to where it was. Number 9, American Society of Magical Negroes. 1.3, it just feels weird saying that on the internet in front of people. $1.3 million brought in by that one in its first
weekend. I didn't see it at our AMC either, because I would have gone and seen it.
I think we had it at one theater.
And it must have been the Malco.
It was a Malco theater.
Okay, because I didn't see it either. Otherwise, I probably would have tried to go and check it out.
No, I saw that one listed. I don't think it had very many showings, not like a whole ton of them, but we did have it at least one theater locally. And then opening just above it, also it's first week, of course, the opening. One Life, $1.7 million brought in by it. Just under 1,000 theaters. Where
this one was playing here at our AMC. It's about this London broker who rescued a whole bunch of children from Nazi occupied Czechoslovakia, and looks pretty. It's Anthony Hopkins playing the lead.
Geez, that sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. And then at number 7, dropping from the number 5 spot, already being talked about where it's going to be streaming in its fifth week out, Bob Marley, One Love, $2.27 million brought in by that one, bringing it up to $93.3 million in the U.S. I know it did well overseas.
Vince on Twitch just pointed out that it's One Life and then One Love, so sure. You only get one in this economy, he says.
Yeah. And then at number 6, climbing from the number 21 spot, Love Lies Bleeding.
It opened up in another, 1,300 theaters?
It gained all but 5 of the theaters it was in.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's in 1,362. It was in 1,357.
It is playing here locally.
We have this one here locally. If you want gay muscle girls doing crime or whatever. $2.5 million brought in by that one.
You could have seen that or the
that one you reviewed the other day.
Yeah, the damsel drive away damsels.
Yeah,
which is already not even in the top 10.
Yeah, the dildo wagon movie. We remember. $2.5 million brought in by that one, bringing it up to 2.7. That one's an A24 movie. The trailer for it made it look not so bad.
Oh, it looked pretty good.
But
just a good comment there.
Let's hide that guy's computer. And then at number 5, Cabrini, which one of our viewers said that they had watched and really enjoyed.
Albert on Twitch said that he really liked it.
$2.8 million brought in this past weekend, second week out, bringing it up to $13 million in the U.S. And then above it, the horror movie out there, if you want to watch that, Imaginary. That one has brought in another $5.5 million in its second week, bringing it up to $19 million in the States.
Yep.
And then opening at the number 3 spot.
Because, I mean, how does it compete with Kung Fu Panda and Dune 2? Like,
One's tough. Arthur the King, $7.6 million brought in by this one. It's in 3,000 theaters. Now, I was reading about this earlier. It's not the opening they would have hoped for, but no one thinks that it's just going to just be sent down the list.
No, I don't think
Everyone's saying that it's a pretty good movie. It's had decent reviews, and that it has some staying power because it's like a feel-good choice. And there's some star power there because it has like Simu Liu and Mark Wahlberg and all that in there. So we'll see where that one goes from here. And then holding on to the number 2 spot, Dune Part 2 brought in another $28.5 million.
It is official that Dune Part 2 has surpassed Dune Part 1 in box office. Yes.
Hmm. $28.5 million brought in by that one, bringing its domestic take up to $205 million. Across the globe, it's made $500 million.
Good job, Dune 2.
How about it? Give us that part three.
Yeah, maybe we'll see some more Dune, hopefully.
And then at the number one spot, Kung Fu Panda 4, $30 million. It's brought in $108 million.
I've heard it's really not
US.
Good.
No, how could it be?
Yeah. I mean, the first one was fun.
Yeah. And then now we're at the fourth one.
Yeah.
It's brought in $177 million across the world. But yeah, I mean, it's the fourth one. You got Awkwafina as the, one of the main things.
And at a certain point, like, I mean, I like Jack Black. We both like Tenacious D. We followed their, you know, his career for a while. And it's at a certain point, it's like, where does the shtick get old, you know?
I mean, I'm a fan of Tenacious D from the first album and the HBO show.
And it's kind of like when, you know, when Eddie Murphy stopped, like, being Eddie Murphy and started doing all these kid comedies and stuff, and it's like the magic has died a little bit. Like, I feel like that's where Jack Black is starting to go. But, dude, Eddie Murphy's
coming back. Daddy Daycare is not bad.
Daddy Daycare is not bad. But the magic is starting. It took a while for the magic to come back, but I feel like Jack Black's kind of on that trajectory where it's like he's forgetting some of his Squeedledoo roots, you know? And I don't know. We'll see. Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah.
Number
what
one.
What a boring box office week.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of was. It really kind of was, which I don't understand. But there you have it, guys. So with that said, Vince over on Twitch, he is our Twitch mod and also our Discord czar. He says, hey, come on over to the Discord because he... watching Beetlejuice tonight. Oh, wow, look at that. So we're going to be streaming Beetlejuice over on the Discord and chatting about it. Fantastic movie, getting ready for Beetlejuice 2 coming out in theaters at the end of this year. And then also, did we say it one more time?
No, you already did it.
Oh, no. Hey, what's going on? And also Beetlejuice is coming to the Walton Arts Center. The Broadway. I've seen it on Broadway. It was fantastic, and it's coming here to the Walton Arts Center at the end of October. I've already got tickets.
Are they $1 billion?
I mean, so this Broadway season, it's almost worth becoming a subscriber, and I know that this is not paid for by the Walton Arts Center, because, you know, still have some issues with some of their choices and practices, but, you know, a six-ticket subscriber package plus an add-on shows is about $480 for the good seats, but you get they're bringing Shucked in, they're bringing Back to the Future in, they're bringing Michael Jackson, the Broadway thing, they've got Beetlejuice, Book of Mormon's coming back. Like, it's just, it is a stacked season. So
Book of Mormon is a good stage show to watch.
So I'm pretty pumped about this season. So I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and subscribe because it's cheaper to just get all, you know, that's like less than $100 a ticket by a significant margin.
You know how much it costs to go see a movie?
Yeah, but Broadway's different, man. It's very different.
It's
an experience.
I got to enter those lotteries. That's how I got to see Book of Mormon, was me and one of our good buddies, Phil. We got in on the lottery for tickets, and we got tickets for Book of Mormon. It was great, but there's no way I can afford.
Yeah, Hamilton's coming back, but it's an add-on, so it's not a part of the subscription package. But yeah, Book of Mormon's good. Book of Mormon's great. So, all right, guys. Well, join us over on the Discord. Check out that stream. You can catch us over there. You can always like and subscribe or whatever you like to view the show, be it Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. We prefer Twitch. And if you follow us over on Twitch or even subscribe over on Twitch, you can always catch us on the pre-show, which we just kind of shoot the shit and talk to you guys and have a good time. So with that said, you got anything else, Jake? Or is that it?
That's it for me.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. I'm Bo the Boom Operator.
I'm the Grip.
And we'll see you next week.
As you leave the theater, folks, please be careful. Don't let this happen to your car. Be sure to remove the speaker before you leave. If you should accidentally pull a speaker loose, please turn it in at our snack bar or box office. Thank you.